can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of thanks for visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today. You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Choosing the right property management system is a big deal. And we did our research, tried different platforms, and for years, Hostly has been the best fit for our business.
It's not just a PMS. It's how we run everything. Managing listings across Airbnb, Vrbo, and Booking.com, easy. No double bookings, no stress.
And let's talk about guest experience. The custom guidebooks, they are game changer. Guests get check-in details, your house rules, and even favorite restaurants before they have to ask.
Plus, it integrates with everything. Guest screening, direct booking payments, and even in-house damage waivers, which you know we love. And their new Inbox AI, it pulls from your guidebooks and property details to help you answer guest questions faster.
And right now, TFV listeners get an even bigger discount. Hostly just upgraded your deal to $500 off onboarding.
Yep, that means if you sign up for an annual plan, your onboarding is completely free. If you go monthly, you get 50% off your onboarding fee.
So go to hostly.com/TFE and book your demo and grab the discount using code TFE500. The link will also be in the show notes.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do each and every week, and that is featuring one of you, our incredible listeners, who are heading on over to strshare.com. That's strshare.com, entering all the information about your short-term rental so we can celebrate you here on the podcast and on our Instagram account each and every Sunday. Annette, who are we bragging about this week?
This week, we are sharing at the Snooze Lane, and that is spelled S-N-O-O-Z-E, at the Snooze Lane. And our wonderful guest today is the host of these 9 stunning rentals in Houston, Texas. And the one thing I want everybody to take note of, head over to their Instagram bio and the highlight section is so well done. Number one, it's press. And so if you have not been in some sort of article in your town, this is my encouragement. They don't come to you. You got to reach out. So reach out, write the article for them or tell them why they should interview you. But check out that first one. It's where they've been in the press. It's also really good SEO, search engine optimization, if you have a direct booking website. Then it goes from press to about us, so telling the story. Then some behind the scenes, setting up properties, so it shows them the work that you've put in. Recommendations, and then tours. And so I think it's just such a good potential guest experience. Like, let's put some street cred out there, some publications, some press. Who we are, watch us set us up, where are you going to go, what are you going to do, and here's some tours. So well done on knocking out those highlights in your account.
All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
Because we're going to talk more about Ola.
Yes.
In today's episode.
All the things Ola.
So Ola is the owner and host of Snooze Lane, which I just think that is the cutest company name ever. And I can't wait for you to hear how she came up with that name. It's very cute. We've known Ola for over a year now, and we have helped her through some highs and lows. I mean, she's helped herself, but we've been there along for the ride. She is inside of our Hosting Business Mastery. But Ola, is her story is unconventional, and I think it's going to be really inspirational for anyone out there. I mean, from being in an industry that took you years and years of schooling to walk away from and to try short-term rentals. I mean, we've got that in this story. We've got in the story of being shut down because an HOA was like, nope, can't do this anymore. We've got the story of the city being like, nope, can't. I mean, Ola has just persevered time and time again.
And her wanting to just throw in the towel.
Well, yeah. So let's see how it ends. Ola, welcome to the show. I am so excited to dig in with you. Tell your story, share your ups and downs, because we've hung out with you for a while now. So before we dig into all the things, talk to us about what you were doing before you started hosting.
Before I started hosting. So thank you so much for having me. I was just going.
Oh, we are so excited to have you.
Yes, this is like a dream come true. I was listening to you guys since 2019. Yes, and now I'm on the show. So this is exciting.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So prior to hosting, I had just finished a flip when I was living in Ohio with my husband. And I had gone into a lot. I had joined an organization for like real estate investors. And I was just like, I'm only coming here for long term, get my mailbox check and all that. And some lady at the meeting was like, oh, I converted my tenant moved out and I converted it to Airbnb. And I was like, what is Airbnb? You know, so she was like, oh, every time someone checks out, we clean and this. And I was like, oh, no, I do not want to do Airbnb. I don't care what it is. I don't want it. But I saw a lady, an older lady, I saw paint on her hands. And I'm like, what, you're painting something? And she was like, yes. And I like see, like, you know, very strong women. I like, you know, I look up to that. And I'm like, can I join you and paint? So I joined her and I was painting her house and renovating her house. And then it happens that her tenant had moved out and she wanted to change her unit into an Airbnb, her home. So I was helping her. And that was my first, you know, introduction to Airbnb. And she went to Spain one time and made me co-host. And from there, I started listening to your podcast. But I still wasn't, you know, interested in Airbnb. I was just helping Jennifer. So anyways, so when I was in Ohio, I flipped my home. I put it up for rent. And when I go, so I used to be a chemical engineer. So I was in Ohio as a chemical engineer, working as a chemical engineer. And I just thought, when I move back to Houston, I'm going to either do two things, Airbnb or do some kind of online, what's it called? Like a residence, something with the residence, like group home, something like that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I would decide. I decided on Airbnb pretty much when I got to Houston, when I moved back to Houston. And so I was a chemical engineer and then I left. I didn't enjoy it, even though I went to school for that. And I left engineering. I was just trying to figure out what I want to do. I worked with a realtor for a while. I realized I don't want to be a realtor. But that's how I started getting into Airbnb, just because I saw a lady with a paint on her hands.
Oh my gosh, we need to meet this woman. And so, wait, did you help her just paint for free?
Yes.
Do you know that painting is like, whew, it's the hardest. It's like, it's the thing that everybody thinks is the easiest, but it really is the hardest. It's like roofing and painting is like so laborious and very, very difficult.
Guess what? We were painting a kitchen floor. It was crazy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And she had like a design. She was doing really, really nice, amazing things. And she's the reason why I did this, because I just saw how, you know, passionate she is and how. And for some reason, by osmosis, I just got that, you know, so.
But Ola, you are having, I want to like, this is a big transition. Mm-hmm. A, there's a cross-country move. There's leaving a career that you had invested, I don't even want to know how much time, let alone money. This is a huge gamble. What was the gamble? What was the why behind the gamble, and did you start to map out financially what was going to happen what you needed to happen to be able to replace the chemical engineering salary.
Well, with the chemical engineering, I went to school for it. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Like I lost a lot of friends because they got weeded out of the classes. And right, so I had this ample expectations. And then when I got into chemical engineering, it was like I thought I was going to be doing like engineering things, but I found myself dealing with like older men and women, you know, managing them, and it's more like putting out fires. I wasn't learning a lot. I wasn't stimulated, and my creativity wasn't, you know, and it was just flat. And the moment I realized this was not for me was when I was talking to one of the engineers in the team, and he was like, "Oh, I have been here for 20 years," and I could see the passion in his face. He was so excited, and I was like, "Oh no, I do not want to be you. I don't want to be here for 20 years. I'm not as excited as you are." So, and that was when I realized this was not for me. So regardless of anything, I wasn't going to do chemical engineering anymore. However, having a mom who has been in real estate back home in my home country, Nigeria, being around real estate investors, I just dabbled into real estate to just see what it is. I just happened to just find out about Airbnb. I wasn't looking for it. It found me, if I would say.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like that's a lot of stories where Airbnb or short-term rentals find the host. Okay. So at what point did your passion change for short-term rentals? Or was it that, listen, I've already helped Jennifer. I helped her co-host. And I already know it a little bit. Let's just get into that. What was that decision to take that next step and start hosting your own properties?
There was not one moment, but I do know that it happened gradually, starting by helping her set up and having it all up. Like we went buying things together. So we did that one property together. We did the next property together, and just starting seeing it from start to finish was very exciting. And then I think the aha moment was when she went to Spain and I helped co-host. And I don't know what it was, maybe because I have a host in me. Maybe I'm a host with the most test. I think I'm still Wendy's and slang. But I think that was the moment helping. It was 2 weeks and just checking up on them the next morning and just being, you know, like in servitude to them. Like, are you feeling okay? And they were amazing. Her guests were amazing. And all the stories you hear was like, not it. And also, to be honest, I know you guys didn't expect it. You guys were one of also like my friends then. Like, you know how podcasts are like a one-way friendship? Like,
yeah, just listening to you. Yeah.
And then just laughing. And so I was listening to you while driving to Jennifer's place and see how you guys cared about hospitality. So it was more, I thought Airbnb was another branch of real estate investing, like wholesaling or flipping. And I was just focused on long-term, you know, renting. I wasn't interested in all of that. And when I saw that it was not real estate, it was more than that. And I enjoyed like hosting people. I think that was where, if I had not co-host for that 2 weeks when she was in Spain, I don't think I would have ever done it, because I wouldn't have understood how it feels to be a host.
And it's cool. You had, I mean, again, you almost had this internship. You know, you got to test the waters without having to make the financial investment. With knowing, hey, I'm kind of the same thought as you. Like, I can do anything for 2 weeks. Let's give it a try. But I love that you were the intern. Little did you know it was an internship, but you were testing the waters to see if you can make it happen. And I want to highlight right now for everyone, Ola, share how you got into hosting, though, because Sarah and I really don't touch on this very much on our show. So explain to us your first property, how you got it, and when you launched it.
So when I went to Houston, I also was looking for like a community, and I was looking for the next opportunity. So I had done real estate investing in Ohio. So I reached out to a DM'd one, a realtor, and asked if I can intern and work for him. So I was working for him as a commercial director, like helping him with like his commercial deals. And one of his listings in one nice area in Houston came up for rent, and I went to go pick up the keys. And I'm like, ooh, this looks nice. Is it a nice neighborhood? Maybe I can, you know, apply for rent here. And do rental arbitrage. So I hit my boss up and he was like, don't worry, I got you. And then he first of all, he didn't say I got you. He was like, are you sure? Are you sure you want to do this? Like, this is a huge risk. You're going to pay for the first month rent, last month rent and all of that. And I was like, I think I want to do this. I've tested the water. I think this is a good side hustle for me. And then he reached out to the landlord on my behalf and I got the property and I listed the property. That's how I got into my first Airbnb.
Wait. Okay. It's a commercial property?
No, it's not. It was a residential. So he does commercial and residential.
Oh, I was a whole other component. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, so I was working in the commercial, but he needed help with to pick up the keys in a residential property.
Got it. Ooh. Wow. And so you just saw it and like something in your head just flipped and you were like, this could be an opportunity for me to do my own. And how long between that moment and helping Jennifer, like how long of a time span was that?
Ooh, I want to say like a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. So some time had passed.
And so it was still bubbling up in your soul, this whole like hosting thing. You're like, you were still thinking about it. Okay. So he says yes. Mm-hmm. And then you are doing classic rental arbitrage where you paid all the rents and then you also have to furnish the place.
Yes.
And what was going on in your head? Were you like, I got this? Were you nervous?
Scared. I was scared. Okay. Yes. I was so scared because, you know, Jennifer, when I met Jennifer, it wasn't her first. It wasn't a second. She had done it. So I didn't see her through the beginning of it, you know?
Yeah.
So this was new to me. And this is a new city. I didn't understand this, you know, Houston market. And the big investment, the first month rent, last month rent, security deposit, the furnishing, it was a big thing that I haven't done before. So yes, I was extremely scared. And when I put it up and set it up, crickets, you know, I started panicking, you know, I didn't have, and then I think at that point I stopped, I was still listening to Thanks for Visiting, but not as like regular. So I started listening to it again. And just seeing what's going on. Yeah, it was a lot.
And I remember, because you are one of our Hosting Business Mastery members, I remember the first few calls. I could feel it in your voice. You had it was, hey, I have a huge risk here. I need to figure this out. Because you were bringing your listing. You were bringing your photos. You're like, what do I need? What do I need to do here? So I want to talk about that. You are in our paid membership. You have a huge financial investment in this property. What made you decide to invest in yourself after you'd made this huge investment in renting the property?
So I was renting that property and then I got shut down by the HOA. So I had to, take all my furniture. And that was like months after. But before then, the other landlord that I'm with right now was I had a property on there on the market that he couldn't rent out. And then I was just not bragging, but I was proud of my Airbnb. And I was like, oh, look at the Airbnb I'm doing. It's doing well, I think. And then he was like, do you want my property? I was like, sure. I didn't have any money, but I figured it out, you know, credit card here and there. So I had the second property when I got shut down with the first one. So now I had the second property and the only property for a while. And then my landlord built multiple units after with the promise to give it to me as to add to my portfolio. So I went from 1 to 7.
I remember this. Yes.
So I was terrified. The same feeling I had in the first happened again. Cause now this is like, I created, and I remember you said it, you created competition in your, cause they were all in the same lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you created competition, like, so everything. And I had calls from other like Airbnb gurus and they were like, oh, we did the market research. It looks like your property can only make $30,000 a year, all of it. Like, so we can't take you on as a client or we can't take you on as a consultant. Like, he turned me down. In the middle of me fixing my property, he said, my business is not going to make any money. So I was freaking out. And then I remember Sarah and Annette. So like, I wanted you guys to be like, I wanted to talk to you. I wanted you to be like my coach or something. But I think when I was listening to you, you guys didn't have the HBM then. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I reached out to your website and Colleen answered and was like, she was so, if not for Colleen, I was in my property and she was on a phone call and she was telling me that this is what you need. Like, you need guidance. This is a lot. Like, she understood where I was. She could tell. I could feel that she could tell that I was stressed and I was nervous. And so it took me another 2-3 months before I took on Colleen's offer and joined. But that was like after I already set up and I was doing, I think I was doing okay, but I knew I was, something was lacking. I wasn't being a proper business. I wasn't doing, there's some, I was winging it.
Yeah.
And I thought this could not last. I needed guidance. I needed a community. And that's why I joined.
Okay. I feel like people are wondering, because I am. When the HOA shut you down on the first property, what did you do with all that furniture? Did you bring it over to the new?
No.
To the new property? What'd you do?
The second unit was already running.
Okay.
Then I thought I was on top of the world. I thought I was expanding at that point. They shut me down. What did I do with the furniture? First of all, I tried to go on Furnish Finders. That didn't work out. I went on Craigslist to find a long-term tenant so I don't have to break the lease.
Right.
So I did Facebook. I did a lot of things. I got a lady, I think she was going through cancer treatment, that could stay for like, I think, a month. So that bought me time to figure out what to do before I could sell the furnishing. So I think I sold the furnishing. I threw some away, or I think I let it go or something, but it was for scrap. I was just like selling it to people.
Did the landlord that you signed that agreement with, were they unaware that they couldn't do short-term rentals in their HOA? Like, there's kind of a disconnect there, right? Like, someone wasn't giving full transparency. Yeah.
I never thought of, I think he was an out-of-state landlord and he didn't really care about like reading into all the things or anything. Yeah.
Okay. That's a pro tip. That's a pro tip right there, because, and I'm not only with arbitragers, this is if you want to purchase a property, you might think that whoever the previous homeowner is like, oh yeah, you can short-term rent. They probably haven't read the bylaws ever.
There are realtors that do that.
Same. Yeah. So this is a cautionary tale to everyone. Please have, and I think you could do this with ChatGPT, at least the first run, put the contract in and say, does this say anything about short-term rental under 30-day stays? Have your attorney look at it. But this is something that we have heard happens time and time again, where, like Sarah said, the realtor, the landlord, the person set for sale by owner, they give their word, but guess what? Their word doesn't matter when there's a document there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And they tried to sue him. I think they sent a bill. Ooh. Yeah. They were threatening a lot, and I didn't,
It was innocent. You had no malicious intent. You didn't know at the time. You weren't going against it. But that is a cautionary tale for anyone.
Yes, I agree.
Signing a document in their name with the intentions to short-term rent.
And also, do not lie to the landlord. Because if I had lied, that would have been a whole thing.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I remember, Ola, and please be honest if I'm remembering incorrectly, but I remember being honest with you when you joined HBM. We're like, listen, Annette and I don't really teach, quote unquote, arbitrage, because we feel it's kind of like the acquisition part, honestly, isn't, yes, like there's some small nuances there, but it's then once the people get the property, that's kind of what we believe is a gap in our industry, people teaching people how to run the property profitably and all that kind of good stuff. But we did share with you that we thought arbitrage, and as you were already experiencing, so we were giving you a little bit of tough love, I remember, because we're like, arbitrage is tough because you actually have a lot of investment up front. Like you said, first month's rent, last month's rent, all that furniture. And then
you're not building equity alongside.
So you did something. I want to skip ahead because we know now that you did something that you kind of changed the relationship a little bit with the new landlord that you work with. Can you touch on that story? So start with, okay, you have this new landlord. You got one property with him. He built another property. He wanted, built it and gave him to you. What's going on now with that relationship?
So he had two more properties, and he wanted to give it to me. And I was being honest. I'm like, I'm barely, I have a lot of debt from like the upfront cost. I can barely take in any. This would be a disservice to me to go get another debt. And, the only way I can do this is if we partner up and you pay for the furnishing and I don't have to do any first month rent or anything. And honestly, I was willing not to take it. It was not like I was like bluffing or anything. I was serious, you know, because I didn't want that, you know. And I wanted to touch on what you said before I move on to that is I remember coming to HBM just random. I don't know. I think it was like a rough day. And I was like, you guys, it was like a very vulnerable moment for me, honestly. And I'm glad I did it because everybody was on the line. And I was like, when is it a good time to quit?
I remember this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember this convo. Okay.
It was occurring.
Yeah.
When was a good time to quit? And I didn't expect, I was looking for a number, like, because I didn't know if I was doing good or I was not doing good. And the response was amazing. Like, Curry was like, first of all, your expectation is too high. You know, you just started. Just give yourself some grace, you know. And everybody in the chat, sometimes in our meetings, it's like an overload because now you're listening to the message and then there's a lot of other chat going on. Everybody in the chat was like, you're making payroll, you're making rent. It sounds like you're doing great, you know? And even if you're not, this is way too early. Don't give up yet. That's not, you know, so it was really encouraging. And that moment was a very low moment for me. And if I didn't have you guys, I don't know where I would be right now, you know? So,
well, and that's when we gave the suggestion.
Yes.
Of Ola said, is it time for me to quit? And we were like, wait. And again, this is for everybody. It was like, why don't we go back to the landlord and maybe renegotiate? Because you had been an awesome partner, an awesome tenant. You hadn't talked to them yet. Because, and that's where I shared my story of my relationship with my, the person that I had partnerships with and I first started. And that was because I couldn't take on the risk, or I didn't want to take it. I didn't even think about arbitrage. Honestly, I didn't know it was a thing, but that's where I want to open up to everybody. If you are in that hard spot and you think quitting is the only option, get down to work and like think about what are some other options here to pivot. And that's exactly what you did.
Yes, that's exactly what I did. And honestly, being open and upfront with him, he also wants me to succeed because he's making money. He doesn't want to lose the awesome tenant. We don't have any issues. We've been together for what, four, almost 5 years now. Mm-hmm. He wants me. I didn't think about it that way until y'all, you know, pointed it out. He also wants me to succeed. How would I not go under? He had helped in a lot of ways. He had helped, I didn't want to say, but he's helped like give me like a month free to pay off some debt. Mm-hmm. He's gone as far as that. And the new relationship that we have with the two unit is he paid for all the furnishing. He paid for everything. And not only, I mean, this makes me want to cry. He also joined me in setting up just to be on time. Like he cleaned the garage boxes and cut all the boxes and flattened it. Like I'm still like, why is he here? But he did all that and checked up on me when the guests checked in on Saturday and said, did they have any complaints?
Because now he's your partner. And so he's got more skin in the game now. And that's why he's pitching in. And I also want to share that I love that because this is an opportunity. There are so many landlords out there, truly. I mean, actually, Sarah and I just got a call on our hosting hotline from someone that's interested in us, like arbitraging his use. It's like they're interested. They're nervous. That's why the owner, the developer partnered with me. He was interested in it, but he didn't have time. He didn't know what the market was like. And he was like, if someone else will do the work, I want to come along for the ride and learn. And he was learning. And that's where I think, you know, you think you want to cry that he's helping you, but you're helping him just as much too. I know you said, hey, maybe a free month's rent, but he didn't have any turnover in those units for 4 or 5 years. And that's a big cost for, whether it's painting, carpet cleaning, getting new tenants, paying someone to help him get those new tenants. So I do want to shift like your mindset too. If you really have been an amazing partner to him, and that's why he's not giving you anything. He's making smart business decisions.
Yeah, he's a smart
for
dude.
Him for himself.
Yeah, you both are. Both are really smart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's it been going?
A great partnership. Yeah. He's like a father to me. It's been great. I'm happier now. And I'm excited. And every single day, every time, no matter how busy, I was so busy the past 2 weeks, I still try to make our calls because, you know, it's invaluable to me. You know, I learned something while on the, like, it's a new unit. It's a new sector for me, like bigger units, you know. I still always on the call trying to learn, like, what do I need? Because you think, In everybody's eyes, oh, you've made it. You have 7 units. You're big. You're making half a million, whatever it is, like you're there, but I'm still learning. I still learned two days ago from Sarah and about parent child listing. We're still, you know, so that is what I have to like implement now. And I'm still a student, and I appreciate that. You know, that's the best decision I've ever made. Oh. Last year.
Yeah. And what Ola's referring to is we have weekly calls, group coaching calls. And that's what she's saying. Even with her busy schedule, even with launching new properties, she makes sure to show up because she can just be listening to us. She doesn't have to be sitting there on camera, but she's still engaged in making sure that's something important on her calendar to show up for.
And I will say that's something that we really admire about you, Ola, because yes, there is an investment to join our mastery because we believe and we know it because we invest in ourselves too, that the transformation is in the transaction. You usually value more when you put money on the line than when you consume a free podcast or a free YouTube video, right? That stuff gets you maybe motivated or an idea or two. But the thing about you, Ola, is that you not only invested the money to join us and then you've continued that as a VIP member, but Ola, you show up so often and you're in the Facebook group, giving advice and receiving, asking for it as well. And yeah, and you've been at this for quite some time now and your experience, but I just love how you're still very, you're always a student and you're very vulnerable and you're always asking questions and you're just an inspiration for, and not just in our industry, but this goes for any entrepreneur out there that you're really never done learning. And even from, you know, people who are newer. Sometimes I learn from people who just start. I'm like, I never thought about it like that because I'm so close to it. I've always done it this way. So I'm always very careful to ask, like, I do it this way, but what do you guys do? Because I've been doing it this way for so long. And I think that helps the group too. And we're all just sharing different ideas about it. Want to stop giving away money in Airbnb and Vrbo fees? And actually own your guest relationships?
You don't need to be a tech wizard to make it happen. We use StayFi, and it's been a total game changer for our direct booking strategy.
Every time a guest connects to the Wi-Fi, StayFi captures their name, email, and phone number automatically. No awkward asks, no spreadsheets, just verified data you can actually use.
And here's what's wild. We send just one email a month to our email list, and we always get 2 to 3 direct bookings from it. And that's barely scratching the surface. Imagine what a weekly newsletter could do.
Some StayFi users have boosted their direct bookings by over 35% and increased their occupancy by up to 20% just by using the tools inside of StayFi.
StayFi's new plug-and-play hardware makes setup ridiculously easy, and the branded splash page gives your guests a hotel-level experience.
So if you want to start marketing like a pro, and build a real guest list, not Airbnbs, this is how you do it.
Head to stayfi.com/TFV to get 50% off your first 3 months. That's stayfi.com/TFV.
So I want to pivot to your advocacy efforts and to what you've been doing in Houston. Talk to us about what's been going on in Houston with regulations with short-term rentals and how you decided to get involved.
So Houston, I've been enjoying for a while now. We've been having a good time with no regulation, nothing. And they started it around last year. And they started the whole Airbnb ban, but it's not a ban. It's kind of like regulations because we've had a lot of like partying and like human trafficking, and a lot of the neighbors have been complaining. So I got a DM with a reel of one of the Airbnb hosts saying, oh, they're about to like vote on an ordinance, you know, we need to like show up. Most hosts, we don't have like an organization or anything. Most Airbnb hosts are very busy. They're not, you know, involved, but these neighbors have the time, they go and complain because they're the ones hurt. We need to also show the good side of Airbnb. So I joined, I went to the city hall to, you know, to listen. The next time, so they keep doing these meetings to like revisit. At the time I first started, there was no ordinance, it was just talks. And there were lots of misinformation. We were just rolling our eyes, lots and lots of misinformation, you know. And then I went again, and when they had the ordinance, they had strict, unrealistic rules, you know, And then we were fighting them, nitpicking them. You can't request for us to give $1 million insurance or different things that they were, you know, so we were like giving our feedback, not the word attack, but we're giving our feedback on, and I spoke, you know, once in a while also and give my feedback and say, I told them during the Hurricane Barry, I hosted a lot of guests that lost power, and I didn't even hike my price like the hotels were doing, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends didn't hike their price like the hotels were doing. We are good. We care about we're not like a corporate thing. We are people. We're Houstonians that care about, you know, our community. So we just going there to highlight and showing up. In the beginning, the side of the complainers are more than Airbnb hosts, you know, but little by little, we started showing up and talking to each other. And then one day, I got a text from an Airbnb gentleman, and he was like, "Do you have multi-units?" I said, "Yes, I have duplexes." And he was like, "Well, they just put an amendment at the ordinance that only 25% of your multi-unit can be used for SDR. That was like a curveball, because it was never in the communication for over the years that we've been talking. It was just an amendment. And he was like, "We need to go to the city hall today and talk about it. I'm looking for people. Everybody, there's nobody. Like, can you join?" So it was just like three of us or so showed up there. I cleared my calendar, went there, drove there. I was scared. My world was like turning. I thought it was over, you know, and I was still working on these new units. You know, I'm here. I even saw the landlord and we're talking about the new units. I didn't even tell him. I just like said, "Oh, I have a meeting at 2. And then I ran to the city hall and put my name down and went there and told them, like, "It feels like you're attacking. I don't know, maybe you intend to do, but it feels like you're constantly attacking us. We're doing good work here. We care about our services. We cater to cancer patients because we're close to the MD and the same cancer care. We cater to people that are, like, I had guests stay with me for 4 months. They lost their house for a fire. They needed a place for their dog and their kids. We cater to all these people that they cannot get that in hotels. I even catered to, like, people that moved to Houston and they kept getting denied from landlords because of their credit. And every time he's hopping around with his kids staying in my property because he couldn't get approved. Like, we cater to people like this. And it seems like you're trying to, like, shut us down, because why would you put this amendment from nowhere that I can only, out of my 7, I can only operate 1. Just tell me to just go. I'm out of business. And when I said that, I was shocked. They took down the amendment. They not only took out the amendment, they reassured me that they're not trying to attack us. They know that we're good guests. They highlighted that we know you're a good host. I mean, we have good hosts, that we're trying to just solve these bad actors.
Right.
And I was just trying to tell them that moving forward, you all should remember us when you're thinking about things like this, you know. And I even had someone come to me after and said, "I understand how you feel. We're trying, you know." And they actually asked for help. They were asking for questions. And honestly, I did this, to be honest. I'm not even joking. I did this because I remember Sarah and Annette casually mentioning how when Columbus was trying to do their own regulation, that you guys showed up. Prior to this experience, I didn't know that our voice mattered. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I can say something and can directly change the course. But knowing that you have done it before made me go, you know what, let me just try it. And to my surprise, they took out the amendment. So there is no 25% rule anymore, you know. So it really changed. It's a inflection point in my life. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Are you okay, Ola, if I share the link to your reel?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone, I'm going to put a link to a reel that Ola made, and it has a clip of her at city council speaking, and it's really inspiring because there are so many hosts that do show up because we are in this for all the right reasons. And that was a big reason why Annette and I started Thanks for Visiting, because we had bad actors here in Columbus. I mean, I think in every industry, there are going to be people who are in business for the wrong reasons. But
you have to be louder than them.
We got to be louder. We got to speak up. We got to mm-hmm. be louder. We have to be able to say, "I don't like that." You know what I mean? We have to be able to kind of repel the people who don't like what we have to say, because Annette and I don't preach passive or easy or things like that, because it is hard work and it requires resiliency. No one wants to hear that. Well, yeah. People do. People like
they
want
to hear it.
Yeah.
So for you, Ola, besides that day, I do remember that day of when it's time to quit. what else has been just like an aha moment for you in this whole, that's really like switched the trajectory for you though? Something else that you've, that wasn't that like deep, let's not go to the depths. Let's like, what's a high where you were like, wait a sec, besides city council, like something that you were like, wait, I'm on to something here. This is where I'm going to keep going.
Ooh, there's so much. Well, my favorite, well, there's two. Can okay. I say two?
Yeah. Okay.
One of my favorite was every time for the past 3 years, guests were like, can I check in for free? Can I check in early? Can I check out late? And I'm as a good guest of mine, as a good host, I'm always like, sure. I just want to care. I just want you to be happy. I just want you to like
me. Yeah. Get 5 stars. Yeah. I don't want to disappoint you.
I'm a recovering people pleaser, but that's not, I just want you to be happy and love, you know, be comfortable. I understand when I travel too. So I'm always giving them for free. And I think we're having one conversation in one of our meetings and you were like, you need to charge. And one thing about you guys is you are like, I'm going to check up on you. Did you start charging? Put one in the chat if you started charging.
And you did though, and you gave the results. Tell the audience.
The next month I told my assistant and I told like, we need to start charging. I don't care. Just try it. And I got the tip about the 50% off the nightly book. And to our surprise, everybody was like, sure. I thought it was a lot of money, but it was everybody. We made like $1,000 the next month on, you know, on just asking for money.
And to be fair, like I want to like everyone listening, it's not like if someone's to check in like 30 minutes early or an hour early, like we're still hospitable over here. But when people really ask to check in, hours,
I get in at noon and you're like, well, I got same day turns. We got things happening.
Right. We were coaching Ola or Gap Nights too, or Adjacent Nights. There's someone on YouTube channel who's like, I think you mean Adjacent Nights. Either one, Adjacent or Gap Nights. Selling, if you have a night before that is available and offering it to them. We told Ola, like, you got to like, this is a great way that they've already booked with you. And so we didn't have to increase our occupancy or our ADR, like, or the price that you charge that night. You just have to add more value to that guest stay. And they're, like you said, they're happy. Because have you experienced any negative feedback from that? Or has it been
No, it's been like 99% positive. And sometimes they don't, everyone had one person say, oh, that's a lot. Even Vegas doesn't do that. And then I had to explain and educate them that we have to block the night prior. We're actually doing you a favor by block, because we could make double of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then his response was positive. It was like, I understand, you know. Now I get it. You understand? So that was the only time we had a pushback. Yeah. But usually we always get people pay for it.
So this is something that you have continued on, and the compound effect of this. I cannot wait till the end of the year so we can see.
Yeah.
Because this is the difference maker. These things are going to, I know, be major to your bottom line. What's the number? You had two. What's the second one?
The second one was, I didn't know there's a habit. I didn't even know what revenue management was or anything. And I think someone asked a question about using like Airbnb promotions. And I think Wendy just casually just said, oh, it didn't work for me, or I use Ruleset. And I'm like, what is Ruleset? And then she shared her screen and showed us exactly what she does. And I tried it that night, woke up the next morning with a lot of notifications. My place was getting booked. Ruleset are like, I wake up every Monday and do the Ruleset for my empty weekends and my empty nights. And I have a system now whereby, because my booking window is 10.
Oh, so she's talking about the booking window.
Love it.
Okay.
You know what it is.
I like it.
If my booking window is 10 days and I don't have any booking, I know that I'm in a, you know, so I do the Ruleset and it's been working. That has been like my bread and butter. Like my occupancy is so high because of that. And I'm not in I'm not in the cheap, you know, I'm in the 75th percentile and I'm still in like in the 70 to 80% occupancy.
Woo. Okay. I just love that everything that you just went over, from early check-in, late check-out, gap nights, to booking window, your percentile in the market, that is what we talk about inside HBM. And those are the numbers that move the needle. Those are the things that move the needle for hosts. And this matters if it is your own property that you host, if you are hosting
you know, hundreds of miles away, if you have one property, if you have five properties, if you have 10 properties, this is the stuff that you have to know, that it takes the work. Like you said, every Monday, right? You're doing this. And yes, it's about the systems. And that's another thing that we're really passionate about inside our membership, is making sure that you set up the systems so that you can stay on top of this and know these, because all the numbers that you just said also are changing frequently, yes, correct? And so you've got to stay. That's where we want to be really open and honest too. A lot of people want to just, you know, set it and forget it. But you know, even something called rule sets, you're like, oh, it's a rule, I never have to change it, right? Like, it's just going to stay. There's things that have to always dynamically be changing. You have to be working on it. And I love, like, Ola always comes to calls like, can somebody roast? She wants people to roast her listing, because she knows when she like updates her listings, she can, you know, she needs a fresh set of eyes to and see Coach what Wendy, she's missing.
Coach Wendy loves to roast a listing.
I love the roasting.
Yeah. But you know what? That means your ego, you have like no ego. And that's the thing that is tough for hosts. Mm-hmm. And I get it. You invest so much money and time into setting up your property and your listing, and you think it's the bee's knees. And then someone, a potential guest or someone who's just not as close to it, is like, those pictures have a yellow tint to them. Or like, why is that the one that you're like trying to hook me with? It is not good. You have to be like, great, what does? What? And that's kind of the attitude that is the attitude that you have when it comes to, you just want to do what's going to work and move the needle. And that is what is so great about you. What is next, Ola? What's next on your agenda? What is 2025 going to bring to you?
I'm trying to, first of all, it sounds like I'm a very good student and I do everything you say. That's not true. I don't even do up to half, because I haven't even started with the email marketing. I haven't started with I haven't done half of what you got, and I'm already profiting. So I know I can squeeze the juice and get more. I know there's two more juice in the orange. So 2025 is the intensity and doing actually what you tell us to do, you know, like with the what's it called? The damage waiver. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep putting two in the chat.
Hey, you're honest. And I do want to share this part of your story, Ola, because I think it's very important. You are a mom. I mean, you were like basically, you know, giving birth when you joined us, you know, like, so I want to share with everybody that all hosts are busy hosts. So if you feel like you're out there alone, maybe raising kids or working full time. I mean, Ola has two kids. Like right when we hopped on, she's like, okay, one's at school, one's at nap time, I can do this. So it is possible. You can squeeze. That's what's great about hosting, though. These little tweaks that you need to do, the stuff that moves the needles, I think I'm supposed to just say one needle, but you can do it in little compartments of time, concentrated compartments of time. We had somebody that we had, Sarah and I had a roadmap call with somebody last week. She's a doctor and she was in her car during her shift, you know, making it happen. And so I just want to share that you're very busy too, but you can continually be working like small tweaks, because some of the stuff that you just talked about, you can do it once. And once you've done it, it's easier to loop in.
I'm going to pat you on the back too, because there's so much you can do in business. You know, like you can be perfecting your email marketing for years and years. I mean, there are people on marketing teams and companies that's all they do is just emails. So it is fair to you that you're going to master your rule sets, and
the
then
thing
you're
that
gonna master
it, right, like
your
made
upselling.
The biggest impact.
Yeah. And you know, then you're gonna make sure you have a system for it. Make sure that system working.
Okay, well, and you're gonna fight for your right to host first, because you don't want to lose the business.
Yeah, it takes time to build an empire, and that's what no one wants to hear it, but it's true. And so, and you gotta keep showing up, you gotta keep learning, you gotta not have an ego. It's a lot.
So we're gonna do email marketing, we're gonna do in-house damage waiver program.
Yeah.
You have your direct booking site. So I know we're going to continue to work on that, and the emails will help there. And I mean, before those are things too, if you're listening, if you're not familiar with booking window, if you're not familiar with a damage waiver, in-house damage waiver program, what percentile you are in the market, that is what we teach. That's the stuff that you'll become familiar with. And plus you get to hang out with rock stars like Ola, because you can't see her right now, but she has the most amazing smile.
Big smile.
That you cannot help but just, you know, she's like a ray of sunshine when she smiles. And she is someone that is just constantly improving. So she's pushing everybody to get better.
Why don't you share with everyone how they can reach out to you, Ola? But as you do that, can you share how you came up with your brand and your name? I love it.
I was at the hospital. I think I just had my C-section and I was like trying different names. I just know that I wanted my my guest to feel to sleep and forget and just hit the snooze button. So I called it the snooze lane.
I love it. It's so playful. I'm sure there are, but I've yet to come across a company that has the word snooze in it. It's great. It's casual, but hospitable. You know what I mean?
Well, the white noise machine called Snooze. Do you know that?
I don't know that.
There's a
breakfast company too.
Yeah, there's a white noise machine called Snooze, but it's SNOS, I believe. Or it's SN. Yeah, it's a play on. It's not like and Ola's is actually Snooze Lane, correct pronunciation.
Pitch your company. Pitch a direct booking site. Tell us where to go when we're coming to Houston.
Okay, so when you're coming to Houston, if you want a 5-star hotel but homey experience, so check out www.snoozelane.com, and we have the best in Houston.
It.
Dare I say?
You dare say? Yeah.
So good.
Ola, thank you so much for sharing your story and your time and your struggles and your wins. I know you're going to help so many hosts out there conquer that next hill that is inevitably in front of them. With that, I am Sarah Kara King.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Want to know our best kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR must-haves master list, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The must-haves master list is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this, your guest checks in to your short-term rental and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFB must-haves master list by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best host didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.